I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. To fans of primetime television, he is Detective Finn on the long-running series Law and Order Special Victims Unit. In the world of hip-hop, especially fans of old-school and West Coast rap, he is one of the founding fathers of gangster rap, or as he likes to call it, reality rap, rhyming about the streets the way he says he experienced them. And to some, he's a walking contradiction, a confessed former hustler, thief, and pimp who also served in the U.S. Army, never smoked or drank, is a devoted father, and a happily married man. He is Tracy Marrow, better known as Ice-T, and he is the author of a new memoir, Ice, a memoir of gangster life and redemption from South Central to Hollywood. And Ice-T is with us now from our studios in New York. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
You know, this is actually your second memoir. The first was published in 1994. I have to tell you, some of the chapter titles from the first book, I actually cannot read the titles on the air. of them is Who Gives an F?
Well, that was the title of the book.
Yes.
The book was called The Ice Opinion, Who Gives an F?
Yes. A Pimp's Guide to Sex, Rap, and God. Those are just a sample.
Right.
In this book, it opens actually on a very poignant note. I mean, you talk about the fact that you actually had a very middle-class upbringing. You got to belong to the Y. You learned to swim, which is something that a lot of people aspire to for their kids. But then both of your parents died one after the other when you were a child. That's a very tough way to start out.
Well, you know, the thing of it is when you listen to music of somebody and you really don't know their full background, sometimes you say, well, where's all this frustration coming from? And when you hear the whole story, then you kind of get it sometimes. So this book starts out with me growing up in Summit, New Jersey with my parents and then moving to Los Angeles after they died with my aunt, who was like a social worker slash alcoholic, and then going off on my own. I've been on my own ever since I was 17.
You say in the book, the strange thing is now that I'm over 50, I've been getting a lot more open to my feelings, like a door inside of me had to be ready to open. What do you think helped open that door? And why do you want to, by the way? I mean, you could go on the rest of your life with your kind of gangster persona because obviously it has its own value, right?
Well, you know, the thing of it is when I say open to my feelings, it's still not open. I mean, I'm still, you know, I just think, you know, when you come up a certain way, you know, you just don't cry as much. You know, when there's nobody there to cry to, you don't cry as much. And I think when you're making this rise, you're in such an attack mode, like you're so focused because you're trying to get somewhere, you tend to be a little bit blunt. But once you get where you wanted to go, it's kind of like I've gotten where I wanted to go. I've done everything I ever wanted to do. So I'm kind of relaxed now, and I'm just kind of chilling.
You talk a lot about how you got into hustling and how you actually executed, you know, some of the things that you were involved in. And you also, one of the things I think a lot of people will find interesting is that initially when you were hustling, you were making more money hustling than you were doing music. How even some of the guys you were making records with would say, you sure you want to do this? You already got, you know, X, Y, Z.
Well, we were stupid, though. You know, I mean, that's fast money and it goes just as fast as it comes. And me trying to be a rapper, they were looking at it like nobody's ever even bought a car rapping. You know, why would you leave what we're doing? But I kind of was the one that knew, like, yo, this is, our days are numbered in low digits. You know, our luck is going to run out eventually. So I was looking for an escape plan. I was like, I got to figure something out. I can't do this forever. You know, and music came along. And what happened was when rap came into my life, at first I tried to rap the way rappers rapped. And then I said, well, I'll rap about my life up to this point. And unknowingly, I created another style of rap, which they call gangster rap. But to me, it was reality rap because I was rapping from the experiences that I was dealing with at the time.
Let me just go back and play a little bit. Let's play a little bit from Six in the Morning, which is a song that opened a lot of doors for you.
Six in the morning, police at my door. Fresh Adidas squeak across my bathroom floor. Out my back window, I make my escape. Didn't even get a chance to grab my old school tape. Mad with no music, but happy cause free. And the street to a player is the place to be. Got a knot in my pocket weighing least a grand. Gold on my neck, my pistol's close in hand. I'm a self-made monster of the city streets. Remotely control the hard hip-hop beats. But just living in the city is a serious task. Didn't know what the cop wanted, didn't have time to ask.
Word.
How's it sound now?
Six in the morning is just such a raw song. It's like a song about a hustler getting up, starting his day off, getting chased by the cops out of his house, and then just rolling out with his friends and just doing the stuff that, you know, I guess you say bad kids do. And it's kind of like when I did that record, I was like, this is for my homies. You know, this is kind of like our daily experience. And I was unaware so many people would dig it, and it just hit, and I was like, wow. And it was very simple. You see, the production is very simple. It was all in the words, and I touched a lot of kids.
You sound so young.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was done over 25 years ago.
Do you sound young to yourself? Do you find yourself going back and saying, oh man, I should have, you know, edited?
Well, you know, or, what you know what it, you know, is, it's a different voice. I can rap in that voice still today. It's just, you know, that's just the six in the morning voice. That's
let me hear it. Give me something.
So? Six in the morning, police at my door.
That's pretty good.
See, so I can do it. You know, it's just like, it's got to take it up a octave. But when I really, you know, this is the low, more like you played yourself voice. You know, when I rhyme, yo, you know, this is it. Dope from the fly kid. The ice mic is back with the high bid. This is the low voice.
Okay, well, thank you for that. Nicely done.
Uh-huh.
You know what I wanted to ask you, though, and I'm trying to think about how to ask this. I'll just ask it.
Just ask it.
Well, you know, my brother used to say to me, are you bragging or complaining?
Mm-hmm.
And when you describe some of these scenes in the book, I can't tell, are you bragging or complaining?
I really don't think I'm bragging. I'm more like trying to show you that the excitement that goes along with it at the time. And I think anybody who's ever stole a cookie out the cookie jar knows there's a little excitement that goes along with breaking the law.
If you're just joining us, I'm Michelle Martin, and you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with hip-hop icon, actor Ice-T. We're talking about his new book, Ice, a memoir of gangster life and redemption from South Central to Hollywood. One of the things that's interesting to me about your story and in reading your book is that you talk about being kind of always in it, but kind of on the sidelines. You talked about the fact that you were always around people who were gangbanging, but
right,
you somehow managed yourself not to get jumped in. You were often around people who were,
yeah,
using, but you managed yourself never to use. And I am also interested, of course, in some of the things you talk about with women and your relationships but how do you think?
We talk about it all.
All
right. I mean, starting off with the drug thing, I just never saw the benefits in getting high. And I didn't like it. I thought by me being an orphan, I felt that being high compromised my position. Like, I didn't have a brother or sister or father or mother. So, like I say in the book, if I hit the ground, I probably would never get up. So I stayed away from it.
And on the women piece, you know, your name, Ice,
comes from Iceberg Slim.
Who's a pimp.
Definitely, you know, and I tried my hand at that, you know, because I was reading his books. I thought it was attractive at the time. And this really has something to do with the role models that were available to me. I mean, those were the cats that in my neighborhood had the flashy cars. They had the girls. They had everything I want. I had probably never seen a lawyer, you know, till I was in my 20s. We didn't have them in our neighborhood. And it didn't dawn on me for a while till I'm like, well, I really idolize Iceberg Slim. But he's a writer. So why am I trying to live his life out? If I really love him, maybe I should try to do what he really ended up doing, which is document the game. And that's where I started to go into music. And if you listen to my music, it's more like me giving you like stories and adventures of the game so that it could be documented.
But mm-hmm. Here's a guy. You're also the same guy mm-hmm. who joined the army to take care of your daughter.
Yeah. You know, I was, you know, 19, out of high school, and I was testing the streets because at the time I didn't feel I had any other opportunities, you know. And when I had my daughter, I was like, man, I'm going to go to jail. I got to do something. And I went to an enlistment office. Next thing you know, I'm in the military 4 years, infantry. I'm in Tropic Lightning, Schofield Barracks, you know. I try to do it. So I'm in there making efforts to try to do right. But when I come back from the Army, I'm back in trouble again because that's what my friends were doing. And until that door opened up for hip hop, I didn't really know which way I was going to go. But when that door opened up, I got into the music. When the acting door opened up, I applied myself to that. I went through that door. But I didn't want to go back.
Talking about the film work, you started your career with your role in New Jack City as Scotty Appleton, an undercover cop. This is, again, one of those like iconic films that some people have memorized, like the whole film, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right,
they can, right. can recite every line from. And here you're trying to buy weed from Chris Rock. He plays a character called Pookie.
Yo, check this out, homeboy. God's on your side, right? So why don't we do this reasonable? 14K, bam, pew, I'm out.
You want to do this correct or not, man? 17, man. Yo, let me see the money. Let me see the money. What's up?
Come on, man, let's do this, man. What you know about that, homeboy?
Mm-hmm. You laughing
Chris
again?
Rock. It's Chris Rock. You know, we were so green, we didn't know what we were doing. They threw us in that movie and they said, act. And it turned out to be probably my premier role ever. And it was my first movie.
You were torn about whether to accept the role. Why is that?
Well, yeah, because that year I had the album out, Original Gangster. And when they gave me the role, they wanted me to play the police. And I didn't really know how my musical fans would react to me playing a cop. People told me, they said, yo, this is acting. I see you acting. Your fans will understand the difference. And I was like, you know what? This is another opportunity. And, you know, I did the movie and they rolled with it. The movie made like $80 million. And, you know, I didn't make that. I made like $25,000. But it got myself through the door of the acting game. And from then I've gone on to do more and more films. And now I'm on television. Who would have thought I'd be on TV right now playing a cop? You know, it's crazy. You never know.
You quote your friend Chuck D saying that Ice-T is the only person who does things that completely jeopardize his career just to stay awake. But to that point, I have got to ask about Cop Killer. You recorded this very controversial song. Anybody who was following the news or pop culture in the 90s will remember this, with your band Body Count, that it was denounced all the way to the White House by the president, then President George H.W. Bush.
Yeah, that
crazy. Must have been an interesting time.
You know, it was wild because, like, when we made the record, we were in the rehearsal hall and my drummer came in singing Psycho Killer by Talking Heads. So he's like, Psycho Killer. So he was like, then he sat down behind the drum set. He said, man, we need a cop killer. He's like, you know, the cops is out of pocket. This is pre-Rodney King. This is when LAPD was all out just going crazy. I was like, you know what? And I just came up with this character who basically snaps because of police brutality. So I sung from that perspective. So we make the record. The record comes out. The record's out a year. We go on tour singing this record. Nobody says anything. And then one day I'm in the house and my boy calls. He says, yo, dude, the president is on TV yelling about you. I'm like, what? And we turned the channel and it was Dan Quayle. And he was like, and Ice-T. And everybody in the room was like, yo, what? What happened? What? You know, it just caught us off guard. And they turned this thing into a big thing. And we were kind of like, yo, that was just a record. That record was last year. And we didn't really think it was such a big thing. You know, we thought it was a rock record, you know. And prior to us, there were groups called Millions of Dead Cops. There was movies called Cop Killer. So I'm just kind of like, what's really going on?
Well, what do you think now? I mean, I'm guessing that by now you've played a police officer so many times for so
yeah.
long on Law & Order, which is a hit show. It is now the flagship. You've probably met a lot of police by now.
Well, no.
So what do you think now?
I mean, I think what happened with the record was we were used as a lightning rod in an election, and they needed something to attack. So they attacked Time Warner. They used my record, kind of like Willie Horton. They picked me out of some press guy said, use that. And they used it and they rallied people together. As far as cops go, I mean, I get along with cops. I don't have a problem with cops. When I was breaking the law, I didn't hate cops. They were the opponent. So it was kind of like I thought I was smarter than them. And, you know, that was my job. They were trying to keep the law. My job was to break the law. But nowadays, I don't break the law anymore. I mean, I got a job and I'm at peace with everything I've done. I've done a lot of things I'm not proud of. But I'm at peace with it because at this point in my life, I'm trying to do the right thing. You know, a lot of us don't have a choice where we can come from, but we can aim in a positive direction to end up someplace else.
And to the future, speaking of which, was recently announced that E! Has signed you and your wife Coco to star in Ice Loves Coco.
Yeah.
A reality TV show about your life as husband and wife
that?
Together that will premiere in June. It sounds very sweet. What can we expect to see?
So the show, we've shot about five of them so far. They're funny as hell.
But what are we going to see?
You're just going to see.
And is this something we can see with the family? Because I will say that on your website, yeah, that we already do see quite a lot of you and Coco. If
well,
you get my meaning.
It's going to be less than that.
There's not a lot of clothing involved. I'll just mention it like that.
I wouldn't necessarily say you could sit the children down. I mean, maybe you can.
But
I don't
what are we
know.
Going to be seeing? You'll be making some brownies, some pasta, yeah, inviting the people over. What's going to be, what are we going
to
see?
Fun stuff. You know, you get to see how Coco runs my career, how she's driven, how she's starting her clothing line. But we don't need that chaos because that doesn't really happen in our world.
Are you worried, though, that some of your cred will be diminished by the fact that you are portrayed as happily married as you evidently are?
My cred is block rock solid. You know what I'm saying? I had it before people knew what it was. You dig? So I'm really totally at ease with myself. You know, I think a lot of people have a misconception of me. So you're kind of caught up in my acting. That means I'm a good actor. You know? You know, but I'm a funny dude. I laugh a lot, you know? I'm a cool person, man. I'm not trying to hurt nobody. I'm at the best part of my life. So we're going to do something new, a positive reality show, and I think people are going to love it.
Ice-T is a platinum-selling hip-hop artist, a husband, a father. He stars as Detective Finn in the TV drama series Law and Order: Special Victims Unit.
13th season coming up. 13th season.
That's it. His new book is called Ice, A Memoir of Gangster Life and Redemption from South Central to Hollywood. The co-author is Douglas Century. And as you heard, he has an upcoming reality series with his wife, Coco, on E! And he was kind enough to join us from our studios in New York. Mr. Ice, thank you
so
much
for joining.
Can I
say one last thing?
Yes,
one last thing. Follow me on Twitter at Final Level. Follow me there because I love talking to the people. Thank you so much. This was fun.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And that's our program for today. Tell Me More is produced by Elizabeth Baker, Bridget DeShagas, Sanaj Meshkinpour, Veronica Miller, Lena Moses-Schmidt, Emily Oxenschlager, Amitha Parasher, and Amy Ta. Our editors are Devar Ardalan and Chad Murray. Our directors are Arjun Hutchins and Monica Evstatieva. Our senior producer is Alicia Montgomery. Our technical director is Brian Jarbo. Our theme music was composed by Underdog Entertainment with additional arrangements by Ian Honeyman. The supervising senior editor is Portia Robertson-Migas. The executive producer is Tashima Walker. And remember, to tell us more, you can always go to npr.org and find us under the Programs tab. You can also follow us on Twitter. Just look for Tell Me More NPR. I'm Michelle Martin, and you've been listening to Tell Me More from NPR News and the African American Public Radio Consortium. Let's talk more tomorrow.